I do hope that Christmas is a special time for you. Yes, it's good to sing carols. It's good to meet family. It's good to give presents. But it's wonderful that we can celebrate the coming of our Lord and Saviour. But I do feel sometimes, if you're like me, we have to overcome an obstacle, and sometimes a big obstacle when it comes to Christmas. And that is familiarity. Probably most, if not all of you, are very familiar. We know the passages so well that if I just mention the phrase Quirinius, governor of Syria, you can just reel off the rest of the passage, or pretty much. We know the story so well that we gloss over things. Perhaps we don't take the time that we need to meditate on the enormity of what happened 2,000 years ago. It's something that actually happened, historical event. And I'm well aware that I don't think, no matter how hard I try, I could come up with a particularly new message that you've never heard before. But what I want to do this morning is just stop, pause, reflect on the event that we're celebrating this week. Just spend a bit of time really thinking and reflecting on what happened. Let's just pray and ask God to help us in that. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that by your Spirit, you will just help us to wonder anew. Be amazed, perhaps as we were when we first understood that gospel message of the one who was prepared to be born in that stable 2,000 years ago. To be amazed at who he is and why he came and what he has done for us. Lord, take away that familiarity. Give us fresh eyes, as it were, by your Spirit, and speak and challenge and change us, we pray. Amen. Sometimes we just go straight into the Gospels and we forget the context. We forget that, as far as we know, for approximately 420 years, God was silent. As far as we know, after the time of Micah, which we reckon was about 420 BC, God did not speak to his people. They held the Old Testament. They had a few glimpses in the Old Testament of what God was planning, but they were only glimpses, certainly not enough to get a picture. But we gloss over that. Would anybody like to tell me, 420 years ago, who was on the throne? Just to give you a historical context, it was Elizabeth I. And that seems a long time ago, doesn't it? A long time. That seems real history. Okay? And that is what it's like. But I'm sure the people of Israel didn't have all the things to remind them of what had happened. They just lived and didn't really know much about the past and just had the Old Testament. And yet, after 420 years of silence, just look at this summary. This is what happened in a very short space of time. An angel appears to Zechariah. Zechariah is struck dumb by God. An old lady falls pregnant. An angel appears to Mary. A virgin falls pregnant. An angel appears to Joseph in a dream, part one. A baby is born to an old couple. A baby is born to a virgin. An angel announces that birth. a host of angels appears to the shepherds. Just what we've been reading of. Simeon and Anna prophesy. God is speaking in a mighty way. Magi follow a star. A mystery to us, but it's in Scripture. The Magi are warned in a dream. An angel appears to Joseph in a dream, parts 2 and 3. And if that's not enough, we don't know about the last one, but we do know Joseph is warned in a dream again, just as mentioned the angel this time. After 420 years of silence, God is moving. He's moving in a powerful way. He's speaking. Things are going on. At the heart of this story, who, humanly speaking, is involved in so much of it? Well, surely it's Mary, isn't it? Other people are involved, but Mary's at the heart of this story. And surely Mary, humble as she was, must have had loads of questions. What is going on? Why have I been chosen? What is God doing? What are God's plans? She's trying to make sense of all these events for herself, for her husband, for her cousin. God speaking, God appearing as an angel being sent. All these things that she can remember, but what does she actually have? Just one thing she can literally hold on to. Just remember, all she had was a real baby. Just like Thomas, squealing, crying. She had a baby, but she must have had questions about that baby. Something big, amazing was happening. And this baby had been born in far from ideal conditions. It's difficult to get across, but just as a silly parallel example, it's a bank holiday weekend. All the hotels are full. They need somewhere to stay. And a night manager at a small travel lodge says, "We're full, sorry." But then finally says, "Well, you can go in the dirty laundry room." So they go in the dirty laundry room, and that's where the baby is born. But there's something different about Mary too. It's hinted in the reading that we've just had. You see, I'm not quite sure exactly, but this is the impression I get from Luke 2, verse 18. All who heard it, the people in general, were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. There was something sensational. It was grabbing headlines. But I just get the impression that these people, they quickly forgot it. Life returned to normal. They went about their daily business. But Mary was very different. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. All these events, all these memories were precious to her. Something to hold on to. Memories she didn't want to let go of. Memories she pondered on, she had to reflect on, she had questions about. She was trying to understand them. She'd been given some information by God's grace through the angel, but surely she had loads of questions too. My focus this morning is just on one event recorded in the other gospel that records early events, and that is when the Magi came to visit Mary. We don't need to turn to that passage because we know it, but I am focusing on their gifts, three gifts. But before that, another word we just gloss over. I just want you to imagine you've got a young baby, you're first, you're a young mother, And then three strange men just turn up. I don't know what we'd think of that. But then wouldn't you be even more puzzled when what do these men do? Not only do they bring gifts, but they bow down and worship a tiny baby. That doesn't seem right, does it? Why would you worship a tiny baby? Who is this baby? He's not a prince. He's the very opposite. He's been born a simple couple's first child, as far as the world is concerned, born in total anonymity. But what does she make of the gifts? She must have had questions. Now, we've just had two births, Thomas and Jesse, recently. Now, I know, because I've heard it, that these days, before the baby's born, you have a thing called a baby shower. Now, I'm a bit confused about that name, because you can't wash a baby that hasn't been born, but never mind about that. But people were bringing gifts and celebrating. I can imagine there was a selection of toys, clothes, cream, maybe nappies, maybe books for when the baby's a bit older. But I want you to imagine that I turned up with my own gifts. Just imagine. So this is the first gift that I whip out. Okay? A royal crown. It's not a plastic one. It's not made in China. It's not something that's going to snap the first time you try and put it on your head, because it's the real thing. Solid gold, solid silver, encrusted with precious jewels, diamonds, emeralds, rubies. Now, I think everyone present would be amazed and asking questions. But that's what happened. They took out gold, a symbol of royalty. An indication that this wasn't an ordinary baby. This baby somehow was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator and sustainer of the universe, the one worthy of glory and honor and praise. And somehow the Magi knew this and worshipped this baby. How amazing, mind-blowing, mind-stretching. How is it possible? How can the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords be this tiny baby? Can this be true? Is this the prophecy? Emmanuel, God with us. Is this how it's going to be fulfilled? A baby born in a stable, not a prince. Surely, Mary had questions. But this first gift gave her an indication, an answer to one of her questions. Who he is. Just a clue, not everything, but that royalty, that crown, that gold tells us a little bit of who he is. Back to the baby shower. I'm not done. I've got another gift. What have I got for this time? A priest's hassock. If the first gift was amazing, wow, the second gift is puzzling. What? A priest's hassock. Incense, frankincense, a symbol of the priesthood, used by priests in the temple. What's a priest? A priest is a mediator between man and God. A mediator that we need because we've been separated. Since the fall, since sin entered the world, there's been a huge chasm. Man right over there in his filth and his sin. God right over there in his purity, holiness, in light. And a priest was trying to bridge that gap. A mediator between man and God. Trying by sacrifice after sacrifice to bridge that gap, to bridge that chasm. And now Mary had these questions. This baby, is he a priest? Is he going to bridge that chasm? Is he going to bring peace? Peace between man and God? And as perhaps she reflected on that second gift, maybe she was beginning to understand an answer to her second question. Why he came. He came to bridge that gap, to be the great high priest. Back to the baby shower. Haven't quite finished. I've got another gift in my bag. If gift number one was amazing, and gift number two was puzzling, then surely gift number three is disturbing, even upsetting for a young mother. Can you imagine if I turned up to celebrate the birth of a baby with a pre-played funeral plan? Can you imagine what the mother or the parents would think if I did that to celebrate the life of a newborn child? Surely this gift was one that she struggled with most. Myrrh, used for embalming dead bodies, was a symbol of death. Surely she would start thinking, what does this mean? Is my baby going to die soon? What are God's plans for this special baby? But this last gift, this hardest one to take, answers a third question. How would he do this? How is he going to bridge that gap? We have tried for centuries through sacrifice after sacrifice, but nobody's bridged that gap. I want you just to picture gifts one and two, first of all. I want you to imagine in your mind's eye that this baby was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he came down. Just imagine that vertical descent. He came down all the way to earth to be born a helpless baby. And then I want you to imagine why he came. He came to bridge that gap, the gap of sinful man over there and a holy God over there. And where those two met, where those two meet, we have a cross, don't we? We have a cross symbolizing what lay ahead for our Lord and Saviour. A cross symbolizing his sacrifice, his death. That is how he's going to achieve what he came to do. Somehow on that cross, the creator and sustainer of the universe took on our sin, took on the punishment that we deserve. He gave up his righteousness. He gave up his eternal life. He even gave up his relationship with his Father to give us something we do not deserve in the slightest. His righteousness, his eternal life. Surely this was something that Mary struggled with at the beginning. But as God's plan unfolded, as her son grew up and entered his ministry, she would begin to understand more and more. And then finally, on that day, when she was standing there, and the tiny baby that she had held in her arms was now a man hanging on a cross, maybe just then, painfully, but in truth, she understood a little bit more the wonder of his willingness to die, the wonder of the sacrifice he was prepared to pay to bridge that gap, to do what the Father had sent him to do, and then the wonder of an empty tomb. Her son is alive again. Her son brings light and victory out of darkness and seeming defeat. And then she can look back and think, what a privilege. So much I didn't understand, so much I didn't see, so much that puzzled me. And yet God's plan is perfect. What a privilege to be part of that plan. A wonderful plan that makes such a difference. But for you and for me this morning, if we know and love that Saviour who's now seated on high, then we're part of that plan too. We're part of that story. It was an amazing story. It was a puzzling story. It was a shocking and upsetting story. But these things happened. And because they happened, it means we have that security in Christ. We have a sure and certain hope. We have a place reserved for us in eternity. Our brother has promised. He's preparing it right now for us. He's no longer that helpless baby. He is back in his rightful place, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, seated on the throne, worthy of all power and glory and honour and praise, and one before whom the whole of creation will one day bow the knee. So my challenge this morning is this. When you wake up on Christmas morning, just before you open your presents, stop for a moment. Just pause. Just think. Yes, we can celebrate with gifts, but let's not forget the best Christmas gift of all. Because that tiny, helpless baby was no ordinary baby. Who is he? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why did he come? He came as our great high priest, the only one who could ever bridge that gap, that chasm, and restore our relationship. How was he going to do it? He was prepared to die. Die a terrible, humiliating death. Take on our sins. Take on the punishment that we deserve. And give us his righteousness and his eternal life. Just spend a minute or two on Christmas morning saying thank you to God for the best Christmas gift of all. Let's just pray. Our Heavenly Father, we cannot fully understand, but we do have more information than Mary had at that time. We thank you that gold is a reminder of who you are. We thank you that frankincense is a reminder of why you came. We thank you that myrrh is a symbol of how you are going to achieve the reason for which you came. Lord, in the midst of all the busyness of Christmas, Lord, may we all take time to reflect on the wonder of the best Christmas gift of all. The plan, the focal point of history, his story, that we might be called children of God and know that one day we will be part of his family, worshipping God, singing his praises in his presence. Lord, take away that familiarity of the story and give us a fresh vision, fresh rejoicing at the one who did so much for us when we deserve so little. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.